Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome here this morning. Beautiful morning, sunshine after the storm. It's just so beautiful. I know that maybe some of us think that, well, it's not quite as beautiful. We would like it maybe having 25 degrees, like somebody was saying. It was in a different country in, you know, Mexico, but that's okay. We're very happy where we are, at least I hope we are. If not, then I guess we have to check where we where our heart is. And so as we just, you know, I mentioned grace and mercy, what we have again from God, as we have a beautiful building to gather in. And we learned that that God is good. God is good, regardless of what time of life we're going through or what difficulties we're going through. God is good. Psalms 23, the last verse there, verse 6, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's because we have an anointing of Jesus Christ on us. And so I pray that each and every one has that here today. And so before we do go on to the message, I would just ask that we would bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look to you again for strength, guidance, and with that, we want to thank you for everything that you provided for us. As in this country, we have absolutely no need. We have more need of you, though, and the Holy Spirit to anoint us so that we can understand the Word and that we can speak the Word. And for myself, Lord, today also, that I may speak it boldly with love. Then, Lord, we know that you meant the best for mankind, but also meant that man should turn totally to you. And that's what we want to look at today, where with our whole heart we seek you. And so, God, again, we just ask that you would grant strength to us here and also to those that are sick in the hospital or at home and those that are suffering maybe in other areas in their life and spiritually. We pray that you would help them out of there, that you would grant them strength to be able to overcome. Then, Lord, you have given us the Holy Spirit in order that we can, through Jesus Christ, the one that spilled his blood on the cross, that we could have life eternal. And so again, today, we just approach your throne again and have grace and ask that you would, again, just grant us strength as we worship you here, praise you with songs, worship you with the praying, and also with the reading of the Word. And so, Father, again, I just pray for myself also, Lord, that you will anoint me with the Holy Spirit so that I can speak your Word, and Lord, and not to have fear, then no, yet have fear of you and not of man. We often, we as people, we fear. And so, Father, we pray. I pray for myself, pray for those that are here today, pray for those that all others that have gone out, for those that are teaching Sunday school, that they will, you know, totally teach the truth. And so again, Father, thank you as we pray in your name, as we pray in Jesus' name, amen. That was a song.
Take your red hymn book, turn to page 217, Lord, I Care Not for Riches.
Written there. Turn to 225, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. 225.
Beautiful song, both songs. Lord, I care not for riches, and I sometimes I gotta be careful that it's when I sing that song, that that's not what, that I'm not singing a lie. You know, so often when we sing those songs, that it's like they've got a message in there that we say, well, am I actually singing truth? What is the riches that I care for? Silver and gold? You know, and as I just thinking when the Acts, when Peter and John went into the temple to pray, and this man was sitting there and he says, you know, silver and gold have I none. Well, which one of us would say here today that silver and gold we don't have? I think all of us have some silver and gold. And so, but he said, I have none. But what I have, that I give thee. And then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, stand up and walk. And so that is some of the, for us that, for me, that I think about when I sing songs. When I sing songs, where am I at with my life in that part? And so, and the first passage I want to turn to today is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4 I want to read. And but the message that's titled today is Seeking God. Seeking God. And here is these verses, and you say, well, these verses would not match up with that, but I want to entwine that within that. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, and here Paul speaks to Timothy, and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And when I look at these verses, and then it says instant in season, you know, preach the word. Doesn't matter on what time it is. You know, and sometimes it isn't convenient. Something, you know, there's a season that sometimes it's not convenient. And I remember doing that. It was an Easter Sunday, and I had verses there that pertained to the end of the law, but it pertained to divorce and remarriage. And for myself, I didn't realize that, you know, what it would do or who was in the congregation. And yet when I left the service, I realized afterwards that there was someone in the congregation, they were going to get married, that were actually divorced. And I had already a dream the day or that morning about something of that sort. To that point, and it was interesting that out of season, you know, for me, it says reproof and rebuke, you know, things that is sinful, that we're walking in sinful things, you know, and the other thing is what I was listening this last week to a man, and he was speaking on sin, and he said sin in the church, and he said, well, sin in the church, and then we all come to seek God. And anybody was pointing at is that when we slander people, you know, think about slandering people. Think about gossiping about whoever. It doesn't matter who. You know, even government. You know, this morning's devotional, one of them was that we had this man, he was in prison. And it was in a communist country. And this guard wanted him to write down everything he did wrong in the prison, all the rules that he broke. And the thing is that, and so he gave him a piece of paper and he wrote all the rules that he broke in the prison. That was about preaching the gospel. And so what he did when he gave it to the guard, and he says, one thing he wrote there also, I do not speak against the communists. And you're thinking, well, how many of us speak against the government? How many of us? Yeah. How many of us speak against leadership? Leadership. Like even pastors or, you know, we'll say, you know, there's not that many children here, but family members, like, I mean, fathers, mothers. When it talks about honor father and mother, how many of you do that? You know, and this gentleman was very clear. He says, you know what? As long as we do that, we have sin in our heart. And guess what? Seeking God does not really actually help us a lot. Because we need to get rid of that. He said, when there's church breakups, you know, so often what happens when there's church breakups, you know, they go a separate, and both sides are right. You think they are? No, they're both wrong. Guess what? They both slander each other. They're wrong. It's sin. And see, and that's a much about the thing of the sin of the church. And yet we're supposed to be seeking God in the fullness of God. That's what God wants us to do. In order that he wants to strengthen us. He wants to help us. And to do what? To overcome this sinful body of ours. But yet too often we stand in the way. Because we do these things and we think, wow, we're good. We're still doing right. No, you don't. I don't. If I do that, I don't. It's not just you, but I'm talking about myself also. And so we have one thing is Psalms 139. There's a couple of verses there. I want to read there. A couple of verses on Psalms 139. And here he says in verse 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalmist David, he knew, he even himself asked, is there any, he says, is there any wickedness or any even thoughts with my own self? Is there in there? And we have to go and correct that. We need to go and correct that. If we want to seek God, which God wants us to do, and with that, I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And if you have, you have time. You have time. I was going to say, if you have time. No, you have time. Seeking God, that is not even a choice if you have time or not. You do have time. Because if you don't, woe unto you. That's exactly what it is. That's what the Bible says. Woe unto you. Because we need to seek God and with our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 29. It says, to start with verse 29. To verse 31, I want to read. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. So even in the first sentence already, if you seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. There's not a question about this one. So further is this. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, and then I'm looking back at this or thinking back at that song we sang, I care not for riches. Seeking with all thine heart, then those riches cannot even be in there. They cannot. So if you will seek him, you will find him. And then further it says, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation, you know, we much think about tribulation time. But if thou art in tribulation, listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in the blessed of that verse. He says, And all these things shall come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Then what did he say? What will he do then? He says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. I realize he's talking to the Israelites here, but not just Israelites, but he's talking to all of us here, to all of us. And whoever is listening, to all of us, he is talking to us, saying, tribulation, if when it comes, he has given us power to overcome that. We don't have to worry about that. He says, I will be with you. I will. God himself, he says, I will be with you. You don't have to worry about it. But what was the first part of that? What was the first part of that? Seeking God with your whole heart. That we stop slandering people. That we start asking for forgiveness for those we need to ask for forgiveness for. Correct? Isn't that so? See, and that's the thing. And then further, when we go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. He says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Again, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek early. Does it mean early in our life? Or does it even early in the morning? That seek me. He says very clearly, he says, they shall find me. There is not a question. And so many people say, well, I can't find God. But why not? Is there sin in the heart? Is that why it's not working? Is that something we need to do? And continually, even Job in Job chapter 5. Job is the man that lost everything in one day. Lost everything in one day. I believe that's how the account went. He lost everything in one day. Had so much riches, had so much silver and gold. And yet he said, God has given and God has taken. And yet here he says, starting in verse 8 to 11, he says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. So anything that I have, any issues that I would be afflicted with or given, guess what I would do? I would bring that to God. That's what he's saying. He says, you know, that's what Job said he would do. And then he said also, which does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain unto the earth and sendeth waters unto the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted in safety or to safety. So we can see that what God will do, as also Job realizes, this is what God will do if I bring every cause. And Job was tested. But he held out. He held out. Job was tested. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that are familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You know, so often when I look at this verse, and I've read it a few times already, and when I read it, how the Israelites were going into the world and searching, how can I deal with my problem? How can I deal with my problem that I have? The issue, may it be physical, whatever it is, how can I deal with it? Where do I go first? The world? He very clearly states here, says, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards and that peep and mutter. Should a living people, a God's people, shouldn't they not go after to God first? Or should they go to those that peep or familiar spirits? Is that where we should be heading? No, seeking God means I go to Him because He is alive. I don't go to the dead that is the world. God is the one that we go to. He's the one that will help us. But too often we start seeking already all kinds of places. But God doesn't want that. He wants us to seek Him. He's the one that is going to give us the help. Because in Jeremiah, He speaks about that. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, not unfamiliar verses. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." And then he says, "And then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." So He already knows what the thoughts is towards us all as people. But then He says, "Then shall you call upon me and pray, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and then you shall search for me with all your heart." With what? 50% of your heart? 75? No, all your heart, He says. That it's totally turned to God and said, "Look, I cannot do anything without you. And you need to be filled within me." And then He says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And to me, you know, when say, okay, the Israelites were the ones that were carried away. You know, a lot of times for ourselves too, we are carried away with things. But He said they want to bring us back. But that means seeking Him. That means seeking Him. So before we go to further yet, I just want to, whoever is able to kneel, but before we go to kneeling, I want to ask for, there's a couple of prayer requests here, and I want to do one first now before we kneel at this time. Please pray for Aaron Penner, brother to Kathy and Frank Fair. Aaron is scheduled for a big surgery on March 17th. To attempt to remove all the cancer from his colon. We would really appreciate your prayers for Aaron, for peace and healing. Thank you for your support and prayers. Whoever's able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. So we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 34, How Great Thou Art. Page 34, let's stand, please.
How great thou art. God is so good. He is so good. Daniel, when we turn to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, you know, when we talk about healing, we talk about these things that are, you know, seeking God. And as Job, he humbled himself, and so did Daniel. I want to start Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 to 6. I want to read. We could read much further. I would suggest read, you know, 9 and 10. Daniel prayed. He prayed. He sought God. He humbled himself, and he confessed. Verse 3 starting, he says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes." He didn't just regularly just, you know, sit back and whatever. No, he said sackcloth. He says ashes. He said, oh, even, he says, fasting, praying, seeking God. "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." We have sinned. You know, now he starts confessing. He's making sure that how God, how big he is, that he isn't a little God, he's big God. How great thou art. He's confessing, he's saying, like, look this, how great. And then he starts confessing, he says, we have sinned. He wasn't a sinful man. But he didn't look at just saying just himself, but he said the body of Israel, or the children of Israel. But for us, it's the body. It's the body of Christ that we today say, you know, we know we have gone wrong. We know we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. When we think about that, you know, what have we departed from? Are we walking in the path that Jesus says or that the Bible tells us to? Or are we just saying, it's simple. I don't have to do these things. I don't have to do these things. I'm only under grace. So much we are under grace, but so much is said that we don't have to do these things. And that so much sin gets committed by that. As I said before about, you know, listening to authority, not running authority down. He says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, and speak in the name of our kings, and speak in thy name to our kings and princes and fathers, to all the people of the land. And we could go on. You see, Daniel, he humbled himself. He already did that. In chapter 1, he says, I will not take part in the king's stuff. He made it very clear. He made it very clear. And I just want to go back to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where he says already, verse 8, he says, but Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested to be of the prince, of the eunuchs, that he might be not defiled, that he might not defile himself. So he already did that. But he humbled himself. And you know, he says, I'm praying for the body of Israel, as we today, we're the body. You know, if you are called to be the hand, are you being the hand? Or if you're called to be the ear, are you the ear? Are we doing what we should be doing? Or are we off somewhere else? King Solomon, he was also a man that later also walked away. But when he started off in 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, I want to start at verse 3, and there he also humbled himself. And how pleased God is with that, and asking. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in statues of David, his father. Only he sacrificed them on burnt high incense on high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." So he made it clear in this sentence right here. He says, "Ask what you will." I'll talk about that a little bit in the New Testament later yet. Further, he says, and Solomon said, "Thou hast shewed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him his great kindness." This great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. He humbled himself. He says, "I don't know. I'm a little child." He says, "I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, that so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there should not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days." So here we can see how Solomon, he was a king. And most kings didn't go to God that way. But he did. He says, "I'm a child. I don't know how to." He made it clear. And so today, I pray that we as a congregation or as a people of God, of a living God, will ask him. And that we will make him number one in our life, in our heart. That nothing else is possessing our heart as him. He's totally filling it. So that we can make the right decisions. We can do the right things. Then the New Testament, James also talks about asking. But many times we ask the wrong way. James chapter 4 verse 3 says this: "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." So asking is how we ask. How we ask. As further down the line, it talks about, you know, submission. It talks about humbleness, drawing near to God. Then he draws near to you or to me. So that we are a people that will look to him. As he also says in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which is a very familiar verse, and most of you will know it by memory: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not a question if or not, they will be added. So it's teaching, Jesus is teaching his children, his people, that they will come to him and he will supply whatever their need is. But many times, what happens? We worry first. We worry first. And then we may, maybe I should go to God, but now I'm so in this worry. Then chapter 7, he says this. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Not a question. He goes on to say, or what man is there if of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him a fish, will he give him a serpent? That's how we should trust the Father. And if we have lost trust in because of some situation, some circumstances, I pray that you will go to the Father and ask him with the whole heart, seek him, confess the faults if you have. And then he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So the answers are right there. He says, if you know how to give good gifts, guess what? The Father has way better gift. And we many times think, well, that's the physical part of our life. No. No, the Heavenly Father has eternal life for us. That's what the better part of it is. Yes, he may give us all the physical also, but you know what? The best part of it is if we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. If we have eternal life. And I pray all of you have today, or whoever's listening today, has eternal life. If not, I pray today you come to the Lord humbly and confess your faults before him. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is. He wants us to come to him. He wants to our heart. He wants us to have eternal life. That's why he took the whole sin of the beginning, from the beginning to the end. That son of Jesus, the Jesus Christ, the son took it. That's why the Father loved us so much. He wanted us to have life. This earth is only short. If you live 100 years, it's so short. Eternally is all that's, there's so long. 10,000 years, we sing the Amazing Grace. You know, when we've been there 10,000 years, it's like we just got there. You know, some of us, we say when we are now, 70 or 80 or 90 years old, or even 60 or 50, say, well, I've been so long on this earth already. It's taken so long. And then there's younger ones and really knowing that they're saying, well, we just got here in this earth. I realize that. But you know what? Heaven is eternal. That's what he wants to give us. Where there will never be any tears, never any worries. He wants you to take this and take it today if you haven't got it. And if you do have worries today, please lay them aside. Bring them to the cross and just leave them there. And have faith in him. Have faith in him. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, he talks about having faith. And it's called the faith chapter, that whole chapter 11, verse 1 says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we must believe in this God. We must have faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Listen to what he said. Must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him with all their hearts. He is a rewarder. He will reward. That is what he's looking for. He's looking for a people that will believe him, that will seek him, because he wants to reward them. Faith is something we cannot see, but we can see outside and how everything is created. There must be a God. There must be a God. And he wants us fully to love him, fully. Asking and believing God will give us only the best. God will only give us the best. So if we as people know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Father of Heaven give good things to them, things to them that seek him, that seek God with their whole heart. He expects us to give it all when we seek him. Not half of it, as I said before. We cannot have half a heart just giving to him. It doesn't work. And we know, and I realize that sometimes it's said that, you know, there is... You know, we're not going to go through much tribulation as such things. But I really want to prepare you for our tribulation. Through suffering, we will learn obedience. Through suffering, we learn obedience. But there is such thing as like when Paul talks about Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to leave you these words this morning. I mean... I'm changing it a little bit here. I have a different thing, but that's okay. I'm changing it a little bit here. Because I wanna that we are prepared for the time to come. Because this is what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There are wiles of the devil. He's a creature that has no shame. Has no shame. But that you put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Then listen what it says. That ye may be able to stand in the evil day. He realized there is an evil day coming. And he's saying that put on the armor so that you will be able to stand against that day. That if we seek the whole God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we can do that, and having done all, to stand. Don't give in. You know, we see so much of saying, you know, he tries to pull us away. And some of it is riches. Some of it is when we have suffering, and, you know, there's preaching, you know, there's always just, we're always going to be healed. We're always going to be healed in our soul. Our spirit should be well. It is well with my soul, as the song says. It's well. That should be well. But it doesn't say that our physical will always be well. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, Paul is asking that, but he says, you know, at the end, he says, look, can you pray for the ministers as him for an apostle? Can you pray so that there will be bold preaching of the truth? That the Bible will be laid out in truth. The mystery of God, as we realize that he already opened up lots of it, and one of it is salvation, that we have salvation. There is a way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, seeking you is a great privilege. But I pray, Lord, that we, all of us that are here today, that we hear your word, that we seek you with our whole heart, that we think about the things that are in our heart, and that you search it. See, is there any wickedness in there? Lord, if you take us through the fire, that will be refined like the gold. But we realize we're much more precious than gold. But Lord, that we have this eternal life. We know, Jesus, you went through the fire. You were tested. And you withstood it. And we know you gave us the same spirit to withstand. Father, I pray for this congregation here and whoever's listening today, and for myself and my family, Lord, that we know the devil is walking around seeing whom he may devour. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to stand, this congregation that is here today, and also those of our families, Lord. Help us, Father, to know the sins that we have and that we repent from them. Give us strength, and that we may be able to walk in the way of righteousness. Thank you for hearing us, as we know you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we kneel, I would just ask one more prayer request here before we kneel. Please pray for Neil Martins, song leader in the first service. He has been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer and will be starting treatment this coming week. Let's seek God for them and strength, and for ourselves. Let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. So pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take the blue book, turn to page 49. The Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round.
Brother Jake for today's message, and I want to thank Jake and Peter for braving the roads to come and bring us God's Word. Thank you. A couple of announcements. Men's breakfast will be on Saturday the 18th, at Meadows Grill in Plum Coulee starting at 9 a.m. Also, the spring conference meeting that was to be held yesterday was postponed and is rescheduled for April 1st. Also, on March 18th, the Sunday School Teachers and Youth Leaders Conference will be held. Ladies Fellowship is hosting a dessert and music night on March 14th at 7 p.m. All ladies are welcome. All seniors are invited to our monthly coffee and dessert this Thursday at 2 p.m. Entertainment will be the Unruh Brothers from McGregor and a devotional by Reverend Jake Hyde. Come for a time of fellowship and encouragement. Feel free to bring friends. The Rhineland Zummerfeld Mission Supper is happening on Thursday, March 16th from 5 to 7 at the Rhineland Community Center. Please see your bulletin for more details. And also, Passion Week services are coming up. They will be held on April 3rd to the 6th, Monday through Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Come join us in worship as we celebrate Jesus the week of Easter. And finally, college and careers, fun spiel. Saturday, March 25th, 1 to 7 p.m. at the Altona Curling Club, ending with a potluck supper. Come enjoy a day with other young adults and leaders from the Sommerfeld Conference. Activities will include curling and other indoor games. No curling experience or equipment required, just clean indoor shoes. Please bring food and drinks to share with the group. Thank you.
Thank you. Lots of things happening, so that's good. as far as I am concerned today, I don't want to bring any more as a word. There's so much to say, and so much more to say, I should say. And yet, I want to thank you all for coming. I pray that as the Lord has spoken to you, that you will apply things to your life. Just hearing does not do it. Just having faith does not do it. Faith without works is dead. So I want to really encourage each and every one that we apply this, you know, the Word of God to our life. And if you didn't get anything from, you know, today, read it. You will get it. And so I really want to encourage you to read the Bible. Read it all the way. And so, again, I just want to thank you for coming, and I want to just bless you yet with a benediction. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Loves you.